100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast, one a day until the day I die.com. It's Sunday again, and that means it's time for the weekly challenge. I post a topic, you come up with a story. You heard of it before? Well, this week's topic is correct, and we have a bunch of stories for you to enjoy, and I'm just going to shut up and let you enjoy them. How's that for a deal? That's the correct thing to do. Let's go ahead and listen, shall we?
Hello, night people. Tom here. And my story this evening is called Pre-Post Dystopia. If Jimmy had been correct once, just once, life might have worked out for the poor little urchin. It wasn't so much he lacked brain power. He had considerable street smarts. It was that refined social etiquette that let you move effortlessly through the maze of class landmines. In the decades since the thinning, you were pretty much on one side of the tracks or the other. Those on the side with the goodies, life was pretty good. Those on Jimmy's side had to keep an ever-constant eye on the baddies. Jimmy was bad for good. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Hey, everyone. This is Leiana here for challenge number 572, correct. I have been at this way too long today, and I am way too tired. But here goes. My story for this week is called Sweaty Palms. Hank always imagined being on a game show. He didn't care which one, he watched them all. When Hank finally had an opportunity to really play, he proved his worth, answering questions correctly and amassing quite a sum. But Hank had never anticipated the additional pressure and anxiety. Upon winning, down fell balloons and the host approached to shake his hand. The stress became too much. Before millions, Hank heaved and vomited over the horrified host. Despite his brilliance and wealth, Hank was forever going to be remembered for one thing, and from that was born his nickname, Hurling Hank.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. The Haven Correctional Home for Beastly Children takes a firm approach to enforcing discipline. We'll happily employ flogging, shackles, waterboarding, and what critics might consider more extreme forms of control. The fact is, we're incredibly successful at what we do. Once a child has been through our processes, they'll never return to old habits. So, what sort of deviant behaviors earn a place on our program? Nail-biting, speaking with their mouth full, nose-picking, staying up past bedtime. You get the idea. These are the type of bad behaviors that we guarantee to correct. No matter what it takes.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. Didn't I tell you not to stand at the back of the room staring at the ceiling? I find that extremely annoying, not to mention distracting. You cannot just stand there in silence. You haven't said a word since the course started. Your attitude is totally unacceptable, said the teacher, furious. Without any sudden movements, the student pointed at the ceiling, and everyone looked up. A gigantic spider had built a massive spider web where huge flies were stuck and desperately fought for their lives. Correct me if I'm wrong, sir, but that's quite the life lesson, wouldn't you say? And this was my story for this week, dropped by my blog at lizzygoodcove.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com and of the YA Books Podcast, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 572 with a prompt of correct. And I believe I'm correct in saying that I have 100 words in this podcast, or in this story. So, here's my story. Benny peered up at the man standing in the doorway. His Roman nose and strong jaw gave him a regal appearance. King Lear, Benny said. It was you all along. Correct, the man said, holstering his pistol and looking toward the door to the stairwell. Suddenly, it all made sense. Benny said, you weren't after me. You wanted to draw Juliet out of hiding. Correct again, Lear said, and headed for the stairwell. Thanks for your help, Benny. A bullet between the shoulder blades knocked Lear to his knees. You're still in love with her? Lear gasped. Correct, Benny said. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
To Robert Zoino here, with a story on the subject, correct. A tax official was subjected to an inspection. Clerks examined his accounts, the records of those who had paid taxes, and the records in the capital of remittances received. They found that his assessments and collections were correct in every detail. Not the smallest copper coin or bushel of rice was out of place. General Way pronounced, "When a story is perfectly correct, it cannot be true. Perfection is not to be found in the middle world. Therefore, let this tax collector be sent to attain the perfection of the heavens." The tax collector confessed his crimes before being executed.
Good morning, everyone. It's Jeffrey Fisher here for week 572 on the topic of correct. My story this week is called Errata. No, not erotica, errata. Betsy was an efficient secretary, but had difficulty adapting to new technologies. Her responsibilities included taking dictation and transcribing the dictation for signature. She made few typos, and those were easily corrected with a dab of whiteout. When the office removed Betsy's beloved Smith Corona and replaced it with a word processor, Betsy was confused, but soldiered on. Dictation, typing, correction fluid. Turns out that scraping whiteout from a CRT was no easy matter. Management wanted to fire Betsy on the spot, but HR insisted they give her another chance. One day the computers were gone, replaced by technology that imprinted words directly on one's retina. Head gestures replaced keyboard commands. Betsy was ready with her dictation equipment and her trusty bottle of whiteout. She retired on disability pay when the doctors said that the blindness was permanent. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning. It's Richard. Two stories this week. The first is called Tooth. When I was a youngster, I had an errant tooth. Rather than grow in the right place, it decided it would be fun to erupt right in the middle of my palate, like some bizarre enamel stalactite. 2 hours of orthodontic surgical torture, and 3 years of braces and retainers later, and now I have a snaggle tooth that they never quite managed to correct. Personally, I could have done without all the drama and pain. Just yank the damn thing out is my attitude. Which is probably why my kids are always so terrified about visiting the dentist. And my second story is called Coffee. What's the correct way to make coffee? Depends who you ask. The Greeks, Lebanese, Italians and French all tell you something different. Ask an Aussie and an Indonesian and they'll have their own take, as do the Dutch and the Spanish. Some will have nothing but a short black espresso, whilst others think the perfect coffee requires copious squirts of flavoured syrups, a dash of Baileys, or beans that have travelled through the intestines of a rodent. I have my own opinion, but I know one thing. No matter how you take it, Starbucks have got it wrong. That's it. I'm all done, so until next week, goodbye.
The Correct Answer by John DeCleese.
The correct answer is... No, wait, I've got it this time. The thylacine, the marsupial wolf. No, I'm afraid the correct answer is... Wait now, this is really important. The smilodon, the saber-toothed cat. That's not it either. The correct answer is... Look, you know my life depends on this. I've got it. The dire wolf, that's it. That's not it. The correct answer is... The Dimetrodon, that's the answer. That is not the answer. The correct answer is the Velociraptor, Tyrannosaurus Rex. Without the correct answer, you are going through that door to meet, surely not a pack of Hesperonychus Elizabethae.
As he drifted into the curb, his back wheels broke traction and he slid far to his right. He knew he had to correct and use the power to get out of the spot he was in. He downshifted, and pushed his foot into the accelerator, hoping he could power out and still have control of the heavy sedan. His Uber passenger in the back seat was screaming and trying to dial the office on her cell phone. She couldn't dial, as her big ass was sliding back and forth across the leather seat. Almo was fired the next day.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Baron Otto von Kollet was the grammarian of Bavaria, walking around and correcting other people's grammar. His staff would levy fines against serial offenders who would complain to the local magistrate about the Baron's behavior. There isn't an actual office of the Grammarian of Bavaria, said the mayor, wadding up each ticket and throwing it in a waste bin. The mayor ordered his men to round up the Baron's men and lock them in the city jail. The Baron himself was beaten to death and thrown into the river. He had nothing to do with autocorrect. I just don't like Germans.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories, 100 words long. You may have heard the story during the week. On the topic of correct. I hope you enjoyed all of them. I did. I really did. Come on, folks. I enjoyed them. Otherwise, it'd be like, oh, man. But I'd never, you know, I'd edit that out because that would be wrong. That wouldn't be correct. Next week's stories will all be on the topic, well, I don't know that, but the challenge topic is offend. So go out there and offend somebody. Maybe that Planet Z story was a week early. Thank you all for being a part of this. One a day until the day I die.com. Not dead yet. It is gorgeous out. So I'm just going to get this done and get the hell outside. I was outside last night and it was beautiful. You only get so many days like this. I'll see y'all tomorrow with another daily story and then the weekly challenge next week. Thank you for being a part of this. And, as always, keep it brief.